자요라타마다바 군자비하리 자요라타마다바 군자비하리 오피사나발라바 기리바라다리 오피사나발라바 기리바라다리 Yashodananda na braja janarandana Ramuna tira vanacharya Jayorata madhava Kunjabihari
Om Vishupat Paramahansa Pariva Jagacharya Totara Shata Si Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishupat Paramahansa Pariva Jagacharya Totara Shata Shri Shrimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Kahosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vatsadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Syama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gopardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Shri Jagannath Puri Purukshottama Kshetra Dham Ki Gangamai Ki Yamunamai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Grantara Srimat Bhagavatam Ki Samabeta Bhakta Vrindaki All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories to Sri Shiguru and Sri Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Narayana namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udirayet Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya But may I have a Bhagavad Gita? I appreciate We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, Text 25. That's the verse is written. The island of Jambudvipa. Prapta nijatim tvaiha je čajantavu. Prapta nijatim tvaiha je čajantavu. Prapta nijatim tvaiha je čajantavu. Jnana kriya dravya kalapa sambritam. Jnana kriya dravya kalapa sambritam. Jnana kriya dravya kalapa sambritam. Na bhayate ram apuna bhavayate. Na bhayate ran apuna bhavayate. Na bhayate ran apuna bhavayate. Bhuyo varanau kaiva yanti bandhanam. Bhuyo banauka iva yanti bandhanam. Bhuyo banauka iva yanti bandhanam. Prapta nrijatim tvihaye chajantavo. Prapta nrijatim tvihaye chajantavo. Jnana kriya dravya kalapa sambritam. Jnana kriya dravya kalapa sambritam. Na vayate ran apuna bhavayate. Na vayate ran apuna bhavayate. Bhuyo banauka iva yanti bandhanam. Bhuyo banauka iva yanti bandhanam. Prapta nrijatim tvihaye chajantavo. Jnana kriya dravya kalapa sambritam. Na bhayate ran apuna bhavayate. Bhuyo banauka iva yanti bandhanam.
Thank you.
prapta, who have obtained nijatim, a birth in human society. Two, certainly, iha, in this land of Bharata Varsha, ye, those who, cha, also, jantavaha, the living beings, jnana, with knowledge, kriya, with activities, dravya, of ingredients, kalapa, with a collection, sambritam, full, na, not, vai, certainly, yateram, endeavor, apunak babaya, for the position of immortality. Te, such persons, buyaha, again, vanaukaha, birds, iva, like, yanti, go, bandhanam, to bondage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bharatvarsha offers the proper land and circumstances in which to execute devotional service, which can free one from the result of jnana and karma. If one obtains a human body in the land of Bharatvarsha, with clear sensory organs with which to execute the Sankirtan Yajna, but in spite of this opportunity, he does not take to devotional service, he is certainly like liberated forest animals and birds that are careless and are therefore again bound by a hunter. Purport. In the land of Bharatvarsha, one can very easily perform the Sankirtan Yajna, which consists of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, or one can perform other methods of devotional service, such as Smaranam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atma Nivedanam. In Bharatvarsha, one has the opportunity to visit many holy places, especially Lord Chaitanya's birth site and Lord Krishna's birth site, Navadvip and Vrindavan, where there are many pure devotees who have no desire other than to execute devotional service, Anya Vilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadi Anavritam, and one may thus become free from the bondage of material conditions. Other paths, such as the path of jnana and the path of karma, are not very profitable. Pious activities can elevate one to the higher planetary system, and by speculative knowledge one can merge into the Brahman existence. But that is not real profit, for one has to come down again from the liberated condition of being merged in Brahman, and certainly one must come down from the heavenly kingdom. One should endeavor to go back home, back to Godhead. Yanti mat yajinopi imam. Otherwise, there is no difference between human life and the life of jungle animals and birds. Animals and birds also have freedom, but because of the lower birth, they cannot use it. Taking advantage of all the facilities offered him, a human being who has taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsha should become a fully enlightened devotee and go back home, back to Godhead. This is the subject matter of the Krishna consciousness movement. The inhabitants of places other than Bharatvarsha have facilities for material enjoyment, But they do not have the same facility to take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised that one who has taken birth as a human being in Bharata Varsha must first realize himself as a part and parcel of Krishna. And after taking to Krishna consciousness, he must distribute this knowledge all over the world. Om Agyanati Miram Dasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayati Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Sri Gurundinatarnam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we continue with the theme of more or less the glories of being born in Bharat Varsha are highlighted by the prayers of the resident of Jambadvip. So Bharata Varsha, in this context, refers to India, mainly, as we can see in the purport. So not necessarily to this part of the world, because it's in connection with that land that has places which are in relate, which remind us of the Supreme Lord, and places where pure devotees are practicing pure devotional service. So that places, it is explained that they can give us the highest prema pumarto mahant, the highest goal of life, which means pure devotional service or pure love for God. So now, why India, in this case, what are the benefits of being in a holy place like Mathura or Vrindavan, or being born there? One is exposed to the association of holy persons. Yes. What else? Yes, like just by the glories of Navadvip Mahatmya, it is explained that just by sleeping in places like Mayapur is considered obeisances. Just by being there, even if you don't know much about the glories of the place, you still are receiving benefits. So what else? Regarding conceptions, that, for example, by being born in, I was born in Argentina, I inherit the history of Argentina somehow, and the culture, the type of foods, We there like meet at that time in a culture who has some maybe has some positive side, but on the overall, according to Vedic culture, it's called it's a lower culture because, for example, there is no punishment for killing cows in those places. And you are not, nobody understands that cow is holy or has any connection with Krishna. There is no concept of reincarnation in the education system, of and no conscious, no teachings on the value of the human form of life. But in India, more it's more the place is the places of education are connected somehow. Probably now it's more difficult, but you can see by one explanation of Srila Prabhupada that if you are born in India, at least you will understand here Krishna, because the culture is built on books like Mahabharata and Ramayana. So wherever you go, you will that culture will be reflected in names, like even if India become there is degradation in India, still the names are connected with the culture. Like I heard the devotees explain that there is even bars where you can get alcohol, but they have names of sometimes demigods or even Krishna. Let's go to Krishna bar or Durga bar. Somehow it's connected. And the education, so most of the child, I guess, that they read Mahabharata, isn't it? When you are in TV. Yeah, you. Okay, I mean, at least you have something. Yeah, TV series of Mahabharata. So, on the other part of the world, we have another stories like Batman and Spider-Man, and then we play. I was a child, I used to play I am Spider-Man or I am Superman. But perhaps in India, you are playing that you are Bhima or you are Hanuman, Lakshman. So that influence from the stories of the Mahabharata will somehow give a more spiritual influence than empty stories we have here that are man creation, but Mahabharata and Ramayana are historical events connected to the appearance of Krishna in Bharata Parsha. So the place where one is born have influence in your whole life, mainly. Yasyadma buddhi trinapekuta tukela. There is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which explains that this body that is made of, we know, air, fire, ether, etc., becomes a worshipable, or one becomes very attached to this body and to the land where it was born. And that means everything when we consider a great place our birthplace, because it gives us the language we speak, it gives us many things, you know, type of associations and I would say culture, stories, so many things that we become proud of that. And there are cultures that are considered more, are considered higher cultures in modern society. Like, for example, many people from India, they come to America because different reasons. Some come for worshiping the Lord. But there are others, Indians, who are coming to America because they want to develop artha, no more, a better economic situation, and they want to forget Krishna. They are not happy with their culture. So they want to come to America or Europe, other places, because life in America or in Europe is easier than India in some aspects, like the bathrooms. In America, everything is clean. Like, if you go to a public place and you go to a bathroom, it's very clean. The buildings are clean. And there is no malaria. Malaria, no? And there are not so much disturbances as a person who is, for someone who is, has a good position in places like Europe and America, there are not much inconvenience as if you go to India. India, also, if you take a taxi and if you want to go to any place like Mayapur from Calcutta, that travel is really an adventure. It's risky because the traffic is not organized. So one car is coming like this, and another car is coming like this, and they have to agree in 1 second who is going the other side. So even taking a taxi is difficult. Driving, taking a bus. In one sense, life is more real in India because the dangers of life are there. In places like Europe and America, even South America, the culture is made in such a way that it's hiding the fragility of life. How there is the way that we build the cities, etc., is just to give a sense of security to the inhabitants, to the citizens. For example, even an activity that in India is meant in the, like, going to the bathroom, to the restroom. In many places, in villages of India, you go to the forest, and it's an activity considered like very, it's natural, but at the same time it's contaminating the body. So after you pass a stool or something, you're supposed to take a shower or go into the river and take a bath, etc. And sometimes it's not very pleasurable to do that because you have to go outside. Bathrooms are not in the same house, for example, because it's considered something dirty, the bathroom. So it's far away from the kitchen and the temple. So going to the bathroom is not the best experience you may have. But in places, in modern cities, sometimes going to the bathroom is a wonderful experience. Some people spend hours in the bathroom, reading magazines. They become very knowledgeable by going to the bathroom. They find out many things they have. I remember friends' houses that you go and they have you can select different magazines. And the bathrooms are wonderful sometimes, and mirrors, and music, and night smell. Like if you go to a bathroom in India, you want to run away immediately. Like, just do whatever you have to do, and take a shower, and go. But here is can be a nice experience for some people. The same with the death. Dying, it's something very strange in these places, like America, South America, and Europe. It's a phenomenon. Like in the newspaper, sometimes you see 20 people die, and you say, oh, what happened? Something is going wrong. And there will be an investigation why people die. And if there is a car accident, then there will be a campaign to promote security, and everyone should use seatbelt. And or like now that there is a snow, there are so many alerts that be careful when you drive because something unusual may happen, that you may die. This is very rare, but may happen to you if you are not careful. So when someone dies, immediately the ambulance comes and they cover the body and they take it out. And people say, okay, it's gone. And then the show continues. Then it's like a clone that comes, that somebody dies, and then people are becoming worried, oh, this may happen to me. And then immediately a clone comes and they start doing a show. Something to distract you, and then you say, oh, okay, yes, this is something very rare. But in India, especially in villages, as far as I know, if someone dies, it's something very normal, part of life. And they will burn the body in the banks of the river Ganges. There are many bodies being burned there. There are some ceremonies they do to help the soul, but there are not much problem if someone dies. And it's something everyday business, everyday affairs. You may see people, a body in the Ganges River floating. That happens still, you can see. So you can imagine. One lady died a few weeks ago, unfortunately. And she fell down in the river here in Chicago, and the police were looking for the body for days. But in the Ganges, the bodies are there. Nobody cares. So in Bharatvarsha, or India in this case, the facts of life are there, are more evident, but here are covered. We don't talk much about death. Death is a taboo topic. If you go to a feast, like we have our Sunday feast, imagine the concept that going to a place where you are going to have fun, and the topic is about death. So it's another culture. Nobody will be welcome if you go to a party and you say, okay, let's face it, all of us are going to die, and we have to endeavor for the purpose of life and going beyond birth and death. So you are off of the party if you start talking like that. But in Vedic culture, we celebrate those topics. Like we have Sunday feasts, and many times the topic is about death, and the importance of human life. And still, the devotees, they have a great time. But if you're not accustomed to reflect on these topics, it's really a threat to your happiness. You don't want to think about that. You don't want to think about dying, because everything you are doing is to improve your life and somehow avoid the real problems of life. And if you hear that often that you are going to die, that doesn't sound nice. That will happen, I know, yeah, but don't talk about that because it gives me so much pain. It's the end of, it's actually to think about death is to really understand that what you're doing is futile, it doesn't have much sense. All your education, everything, all your wealth, properties, etc., will be taken away. So it's very uncomfortable. Therefore, our societies are built more in somehow forgetting these things. And that's the main fault, because actually, like Prabhupada explained when he went to London, he said that London is hell when he was asked about London. But then he acknowledged that the British people, they made a nice place of hell. They made something nice in hell. And he acknowledged that the building, skyscrapers, so all these tall buildings are actually nice, the Prabhupada explained. He's not against the technology and other things, but the fault that he's pointing out is that what is the use of all these buildings if there is not, if they are not meant to somehow enhance the spiritual life of human beings. So if one obtains a human body in the land of Bharata Varsha, with clear sensory organs with which to execute the Sankirtan Yajna, but in spite of this opportunity, he does not take to devotional service, he is certainly like liberated forest animals and birds that are careless and are therefore again bound by a hunter. So Prabhupada explained that if we don't use the human life, especially those who were born in places where there are teachings about a spiritual life, then we are not more like an animal or like a bird that has been hunted and then free. He gets freedom again, and then he is careless, and then the hunter again catch him. So we are already born in bondage by having just a material body and a mind. We are limited. Some animals, they can do things that we cannot do. Some animals can fly. So human beings cannot fly, but animals, they cannot utilize their intelligence to the fullest as human beings. And so every species of life has some limitation, it's bondage somehow. But human life is the only species of life who can become free from material life. But in spite of having the human body, we utilize this body for other things that are not for glorifying the Lord, then it is Dharmena Hina Pashuvir Samana, that we are not different from the animals. And we are more dangerous than animals. Because having a human form of life requires more responsibility, and we have the capacity to help others and ourselves, and also we have the capacity to destroy others and to destroy ourselves. So for instance, we have the animal instincts in our self, like for example a tiger has the propensity to kill. That is his animal instinct, and eat meat. But he doesn't have much intelligence in order to kill. So he kills only once a week or every 2 weeks if he can find some animal to eat. But he doesn't have intelligence to open a slaughterhouse where he can just sit and make profit from killing animals and eat them. So a tiger doesn't cause much problem in the environment because he kills only what he needs and he doesn't have much intelligence to kill more. But a human being with the desires of a tiger and the intelligence of a human being, combine this lower instinct with a higher intelligence, he can become a Hitler, for example. Or he can become a serial killer, a murderer. So many bad things that will create problems in society, and will create problems for himself. So therefore, in human life, there is Dharma. And we need to learn how to utilize our life and how to conduct these animal propensities we have and dovetail those propensities in the service of Krishna. Because for many, many lives, we have been taking birth in different species of life, and so we have those instincts in us. In Bharat Varsha, there is Dharma still. There is a scriptures that teach us how to dovetail the material desires in such a way that you get purified, and later on you start developing more attraction for the Lord. Teachings of morals that doesn't bring attachment or a vision of a higher dimension of life and a relation with the Lord are considered useless. It's not pada yet, yadiratim. If they don't produce any attachment for the Lord, srama eva hikevalam, they are rejected. Therefore, there is a special education called the Vedas, the books of knowledge that bring the human beings from the lower animal propensity to the highest expression of love for God. But that teachings a way to organize society as called Varna and Ashram are absent in modern societies. Therefore, the education is not built on spiritual principles. So the more you can get by the education, which is done with intelligence, it's a very good education, but doesn't have spiritual principles. Therefore, only develop the intellect and the skills, but the animal instincts of human beings are still in the lower levels. So it becomes more dangerous. Like, Upanishad reject that kind of knowledge because a society well educated but on material principles but not in spiritual principles is a threat to the planet and a threat to the other human beings. So therefore, Prabhupada is explaining that, or even this verse, that once you understand your dharma or the value of the human form of life, there is an urgency of broadcast this knowledge in other parts of the world so that human beings can make a profit of human life and not get degraded in lower form of life in the following birth. So that's the importance of being born in a place where you get spiritual teachings and an association of holy people or called sadhus who will remind you of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna show that education to Arjuna, who is in distress and he doesn't know what to do with his life, continue his duty of being a soldier or not. And Krishna will give him different options to even to fight and to raise his consciousness, all in the realm of Dharma. And finally, he will tell Arjuna that all these morals have the essence of all the morals is surrender to him only. So, like Sramayava Hikevalam, if you don't surrender to me, there is no point of following all this path that I show you. So the first path that Krishna is showing to Arjuna is that he's as a human being. He's understanding that Arjuna is identifying himself as a human being, not as a spiritual soul. So therefore, Krishna explained, treat him as a human being. And he said, you are a kshatriya, you are a soldier, and you have a duty, and you have to do your duty. And because if you don't do your duty, you are committing sinful activity. So this is the first level of the Dharma. And then he even goes more, and he said, and even if you fight, you will gain the heavenly planet if you lose. If you die, you go to the heavenly planet, and if you become successful, you enjoy a kingdom in earth. So he's acknowledging that the material desires are in human beings, like Arjuna. He may have desires of going to heavenly planet, etc. And Krishna said, there is a place for you still. This will be the next verse that we are having in the Bhagavatam. Akama kama sarvabhada. That doesn't matter if you have so many material desires. Hare Krishna movement is not meant to select only a class of people who doesn't have material desires and let everyone else go to hell. But it's inviting everyone, and everyone has material desires, and it's giving the teachings to according to your level of consciousness, how you can dovetail your propensities. So first, Arjuna is instructed in that lower level, but still in the realm of Dharma, because this is the plan of Krishna. There is a specific way to perform your activities. But even that lower level, we don't find in our modern education, because there is no such a concept of developing a higher consciousness. Therefore, we only have a motivation for performing activities that is meant only, built only in doing whatever you want, basically. There is no concept of how to do your duty you can perform it anywhere as soon as you get some money. There are some morals there, but not much. But in the Vedas, it's explained exactly how a kshatriya, a vaishya, a shudra, or a brahmana, what are the activities, how they can perform their activities in a dharmic way, according to scriptures. For example, a mother. How should be a mother? A mother and a father, no? They should train their children to understand the value of life as a principle. Then they can give any type of education, but as a principle, teach the value of life. In modern society now, it's very confusing. What is the duty of a mother? Some mothers may think that it's okay to kill my baby in the womb because there is a law that allows that. And I'm not committing any fault because the government is allowing me to kill my baby in the womb. And I can eat any type of things while he's in the womb or not, according to what the doctor said, etc. And these rules change all the time. Like sometimes abortion is condemned, and then another stage, all the other periods of time, abortion will be condemned. Because the Shastra within Utsrija, the rules of morals in so in a dharmic society are not based on a scripture, so it's based on some intelligence or some people who are called Naradamas according to Bhagavad Gita, and they organize society in such a way that they think that it will be good for human beings. And so therefore our duties as a whatever we are doing, like a teacher or some mother, father, or it's whatever, politician, etc., is not defined, it's not absolute. The morals, etc., are always changing, but in the dharmic society, it's clear the duties of everyone, and everyone is engaged according to those duties till they become perfect and advance in life to such a point that they can even forget about his duties and just engage in the eternal duty of worshipping the Lord. That's what Arjuna is being raised in Bhagavad Gita too. While performing his duty, he's getting purified in so many ways by obtaining knowledge of the soul, etc. So all this is can be obtained in holy places. So the education that value the human form of life. Like we are here in the temple. Like the demigods, they want to come to Bharatvarsha, although they are very comfortable there. In the same way, somehow, many of us may be more comfortable in, maybe warmer, in another place, in our own houses, our own places and countries. But we choose the temple life, perhaps, or a community of devotees, because we have good association that will help us in our spiritual life. And in order to have that, we are willing to be deprived of other things that are not very much, very important. So in the same way, the demigods, they have so many facilities, but they prefer to be living in an austere place like Bharatvarsha in order to get holy association. Like devotees, they travel to India, they don't enjoy much regarding the sense that they come back from India all skinny and sick sometimes, but very enlightened because they got to hear a lot of Sravanam and Kirtanam, Smaranam, Parasevanam, they do every day, visiting holy places, etc. And they don't care much about the disturbances of the body, because the main food for the soul is provided in those places. Okay, we have 7 minutes for comments, questions. Okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the discussion. I was wondering, would we still, given the current situation in India, would we still say it's such a fortunate birth? I'm asking because I meet a lot of persons from there, and in the course of watching Mahabharata on TV or all these things, and then coming to America and seeing Batman and Spider-Man, they think basically the pastimes of Krishna are on the same level as these fictional comic books, you know. And it's really creates this, you know, like conviction that it's all mythology and everything like that. So it just seems like it's almost more fortunate, like Parampur was bringing this up yesterday, it's almost more fortunate that for those of us who were born in the West, because we didn't get bewildered, you know, by all these various misinterpretations of the Puranas and all of that. And instead we were just able to accept Srila Prabhupada's presentation and not think, oh, well, Lord Chaitanya, no, he's just some this one, or Krishna, he's, you know, he's just one of the demigods, you know, like that. So Anyway, what do you think?
Yeah, the importance of Parabarsa mainly is like a holy place is important because there are holy people who are practicing, who are the life of a religion or a spiritual tradition. So those example of people who are born in India but they teach to children that the stories of Mahabharata are mythology, or they come to that realization after getting in contact with other type of education. And this is not, this is because of the Adharmic influence. It's not for the fact of being born in India. It's because of the fact of other alien factors that are there in India that are not from the culture. And so in that way, that is very unfortunate, like, for some devotees, they say better I was born in the Western countries, because when I get in contact with Vedic culture, I got the proper conceptions by reading Prabhupada's books. But if I am, I could be, had been born in India, I may come in contact with so many interpretations of Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata, etc., and then get confused and reject everything. So Prabhupada brought that holy places, because the holy, the pure devotees, wherever they go, the Kumaras, Prithu Maharaj praised the Kumaras, explaining that wherever you go, pure devotees, it becomes a holy place. So we had the fortune of, although being born in Western countries, by being in contact with these books, and with the proper conceptions and devotees. Also, Prabhupada brought that essence of Bharatvarsha all over the world, which means the holy places, by constructing temples and by making devotees, bringing that association. So many times, it may be more convenient even to be in, it's better to be in a, whatever, in America, when, if you have a good association of devotees, good, nice temples where you can worship, etc., than being in India where the temples are not conducted by pure devotees, and they worship any god, any demigod, and then you have a mix. So you go to a temple, but you don't get the real benefit, and then they teach Bhagavad Gita in different ways that are not meant to understand the value of life, and that the goal of life is Samsidhir Haritoshana, just to please Krishna. So, yes, being born in India in those situations is not the best opportunity, but anyway, as we know that many, even the devotees who rejected the culture, the people born in India, when they come in contact with the real thing that Prabhupada brought, they have something that we don't have. By being born there, that they have so many impressions that they know, they hear. Like one guest was sharing with me that he never took seriously culture while he was in India. Then he became a businessman and he traveled all over the world, make a lot of money. Finally, he got in contact with Kishore Kishori here, and he's developing now devotion. And now he's remembering his grandmother who used to worship Krishna. And so all these impressions are there, are becoming alive now for him. And he's understanding that it was real, everything. So now he can appreciate a year later his mother. But on the other side, by being born here, we have many remembrances, childhood, etc., but may not bring those remembrances, are not connected much with the culture of Krishna consciousness. So may hamper our spiritual life. sometimes. Good.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. I was thinking about this because I was exposed to that culture and then I came here. So it's a very interesting class for me. So what I saw is when I read the Nectar of Devotion, my appreciation for my family grew a lot because they follow everything in the Nectar of Devotion. Really, like they literally follow everything in the Nectar of Devotion. But what was missing for me was, and for them, was they did not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they had the culture, but they didn't have transcendental knowledge. So, and the thing that I really appreciate now after coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada is that a culture is actually founded in the sound vibration. So previously, because the culture was grounded in listening to the scriptures, they had that culture in India. But whereas now, even in India, like everything is practically the television that dictates everybody's life. Because the more we watch something, the more we hear something, it creates an impression that, oh, happiness is there. So because like everybody is exposed to a lot of media and, you know, movies, which actually deviate us from the goal of life. So now everybody thinks that, oh, the happiness is there in sense gratification. So if we hear the proper sound vibration, it doesn't matter where we are born. If we hear the proper message, and we are not lazy to understand the proper message. Like I really appreciated Jai Jagannath Prabhu's presentation that he made. We should not be lazy to understand scripture. Because if we are lazy to understand scripture, then it limits what we can get out of the human form of life. So
yeah, we missed the point.
Huh?
We will miss the point of all the culture and this,
yeah.
Because it's in the
so
scriptures.
Actually, yeah, everything is in the sound vibration that we hear. So we have to be very careful about what we are hearing throughout the day and what we are speaking also. I think that is and this is a appreciation for a devotee. Like before Nityanand Pran Prabhu, there was another temple president, Krishna Smaran Prabhu. And his whole thing was like he would say, devotional service means hearing. Devotional service means hearing. And it, because he had so much faith in the process of hearing, it somehow made a very big impact on me. And now I can see that everything is actually based on hearing. So, I mean, as devotees, we have to hear from the proper sources if we want to change the impressions and go beyond sense gratification to the real goal of life.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, this is just one. It's true what you're saying, and we can see that even this, our culture here is based also in sound or even words like propaganda, etc., and books. So therefore, Prabhupada stressed he didn't make any difference between books and here. Yeah, Sankirtan. He called Sankirtan to book distribution many times. Devotee for previous generation, like a new generation, now they associate more like Harinam with chanting, Sankirtan with Harinam, chanting in the streets. But in the 80s and the 90s, in the Hare Krishna movement, book distribution was called Sankirtan. Let's go to Sankirtan. Because Prabhupada didn't make any difference. And he thought that the books can spread all over the world. And that's what happened with many of us. We got in contact with a book and we hear the voice of the sounds. But now we have a technology and Harinam is going all over the world. Like devotees make Harinam in one place and go to YouTube and many people are listening to the holy name and the message. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki.